Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
From an undisclosed broadcasting location.
This is a test. For the next 60 seconds, this station will conduct a test of the emergency broadcast system.
America, here comes the relief from the pain. Unapologetically, this is Lock and Load with Bill Frady.
All right, hour number three. And joining me again from the beautiful confines of Yuma, Arizona, is the one, the only, Dean Weingarten. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Bill. I'm glad to be here.
So let's talk about this. Now, normally, with some of the stuff, some of the technical stuff that happens in the legal arena of guns, I'll be honest, sometimes it bores me, to be quite honest with you. But, on the other hand, I also I understand that some of these things are important and have to be done. Now, the pistol brace thing, I just went through all the stuff with the Form 1 and everything, and I was one of the less than 250,000 that complied with it. You have written an article about, I guess, the new rule. So tell me about what you found out about the new rule.
Well, there's several interesting things about the new rule. One is that it contradicts what the ATF had done for about a decade before, where it said pistol braces were okay. They were not covered under the NFA, the National Firearms Act. And that becomes important in some of the court challenges that we're seeing. Some judges have basically said, well, how is an ordinary person to know whether this is legal or not when you said it was legal for 10 years and now you're saying it's not legal? I mean, that's a big change in the law, and we shouldn't just let administrators change it whenever they want to.
Right.
If you're going to make a big change, at the minimum, it has to go through Congress, not some legislative administrative agency or executive administrative agency like the ATF. And the other thing is that these are criminal statutes. This isn't, you're going to get a fine and, you know, you have to pay so many dollars and that's it. And there is a differentiation in federal law. Now, it's not absolute. It's not always. But generally, they're more concerned with having criminal penalties go through Congress, whereas if it's just civil penalties, they have them. They're more deferential to the administrative agencies. And this is criminal penalties. You could be fined up to $10,000, and you could go to jail for up to 10 years if you're found to be in possession of a short-barreled rifle. And the ATF has changed the definition of what is a short-barreled rifle to include a pistol and some of the pistol braces. Now, it's not exactly clear. I read the final rule, and they go through a bunch of different iterations. Well, we're going to look at this point and that point and the other point, and basically it comes down to, we'll know it when we see it and
right.
Tell you if it's illegal or not, which is not real comforting if you're trying to figure out if you're legal or not.
Right.
Now, one of the things that strikes me as odd and I think kind of interesting about this whole thing is in 1992, Supreme Court ruled in a case, United States versus Thompson Center Arms Company, that possessions of parts that can be assembled into a pistol, a rifle, or a short-barreled rifle do not equate into the possession of a short-barreled rifle. They said because of the rule of lenity, which is if you can construe a law a couple of different ways reasonably, then you go with the one that's most favorable to the person you're trying to prosecute. And they also talked about it being vague, that it wasn't clear. So, this case, that was 1992. It's a ways back. I remember when it happened because I went, wow, this is a pretty big deal. And what Thompson Center had done is they made a few kits. They weren't very many, where they had a pistol, single shot pistol with a 10 inch barrel. And they included a shoulder stock with this kit and a receiver and a 21 inch barrel. So you could put the 21 inch barrel and the shoulder stock on the receiver and you had a single shot rifle, or you could put the hand grip and the 10 inch barrel and you had a single shot pistol. And in the Supreme Court ruling, they said you can't claim that mere possession of a short barrel and a stock and a receiver that can all be put together into a short barrel pistol is a short barrel rifle. They said Congress never said that just a collection of parts can become a short barrel rifle. Where they said something different when it comes down to silencers. Any part that is only used in a silencer, they said you have to have a $200 tax stamp for, which of course is absolutely insane and ridiculous, but that's another topic. So, we have this Supreme Court ruling that's been around for 30 years. And it says that if you just have the parts that make it into a, that you could assemble into a short-barreled rifle, it's not a short-barreled rifle. It has to be assembled to be a short-barreled rifle. But the difference on this is they were not talking about pistol braces. They were talking about actual stocks. The stocks were meant to go on a rifle.
Right.
If you see the difference. And the whole thing about pistol braces is they're not meant to be stocks, even if they may, in a particular instance, look a lot like a stock. And they can be made to function a lot like a stock. They never were made to be a stock, and that's an important differentiation in the law. So, we have this case. Say you've got a pistol, an AR-type pistol. It doesn't matter the barrel length as long as it's less than 16 inches.
Right.
I mean, you can have a pistol with a barrel length of 16 inches or more. That's not a problem. But to become a short-barreled rifle, the barrel has to be less than 16 inches. So you've got this pistol, and it's an AR type, and it's got an upper receiver that has a barrel length, let's say, of less than 16, maybe 10 inches. And you have a rifle, or an upper with a barrel length of more than 16 inches. You could take off that 16 or that 10-inch upper and put on the 16-inch upper, and then you could put a stock on it, and you'd perfectly have a legal rifle. But if you put the stock on the pistol with the pistol upper on, then you've got a short barrel rifle. Now, ATF is saying with this rule is if you have one of the pistol braces that they've determined makes a pistol into a short barrel rifle, that mere possession of that pistol brace with the receiver and the upper receiver with the short barrel means you've got constructive possession of a short barrel rifle. But if you have an actual stock that sits on it, it doesn't. Which I thought was kind of hilarious. I mean, you could have an actual stock and it doesn't make it a rifle as long as you don't put it on it. But you have a pistol brace that wasn't designed as a stock, but could be used as a stock that would possibly, in their interpretation, make it a short-barreled rifle just by existing, not by putting it on.
Right.
And that's just, I mean, it's ludicrous. It's insanity.
Hang on right there, if you will. This article is at amelan.com right now, like 2,200-plus other articles he's got. Talking to Dean Weingartner, we'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
We'll be right back. such thing as a fair fight, and we bring the unfair advantage that is the 2011 platform.
Dominate.
At Staccato, we know the most important gun you own is the one that you're carrying when you're facing that threat to life and freedom.
Win.
We want you to enter that objective confident that you are carrying the best gun in a gunfight. No compromise. No sacrifice. Staccato2011.com. Stand ready to face down the darkness with 2011.
When it comes to online gun shops, Primary Arms is one of America's largest retailers of new firearms, parts, accessories, and gear. They stock over 600 popular brands, all with everyday low prices and fast shipping. If you ever have any questions about a product, their team of product experts will help you make the right purchase. So, don't settle for less. Visit PrimaryArms.com today and see why so many gun owners make it their first destination for all of their firearm needs.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
And welcome back. We're talking to Dean Weingarten, talking about AR-15 pistols versus AR-15 short-barreled rifles. And nobody really knows the difference between them. They'll know it when they see it, though, right?
Well, the ATF has basically made the rules to determine if a pistol brace will make a pistol into a short-barreled rifle. So complicated that it's hard to know if it really will or not. And it kind of depends on how the ATF looks at it when they see it.
Can I ask you a question about that, though? So, like, if it just has a buffer tube on it, right? No pistol brace at all. Just the regular round buffer tube that will not actually accept a brace on the back of it. They also want to legislate or regulate the way you actually hold the gun. So if you take that buffer tube and stick it on your shoulder, because that's not going to hurt if you do that with the 5.56. It's just not a heavy kicking round. You could do that, couldn't you? But that's illegal, right?
From what I understand, it's not illegal. When I talk to the ATF, now these are not the very highest people. They're the people in probably middle-level positions that are presenting at the SHOT Show. And they said, if the buffer tube is necessary for the action, in other words, if it has a spring in it and the buffer goes back and forth when you shoot, it's necessary to operate the action, buffer tubes are not considered stocks and they would not be prosecuted. That's what they told me.
Right.
So if you, in my opinion, now there are actions that I like some of the 22 conversions that don't really need a buffer tube.
Right.
Now, in that case, they might consider the buffer tube to be a stock. Like I said, it comes down to the interpretation of the ATF. But I think for an ordinary AR-type action, where the buffer goes back and forth inside the tube, that with the part of the bolt carrier, that would not be considered a stock by itself. But as you say, for the 5.56, or I would say a 300 AAC, the buffer tube itself is not going to hurt your shoulder much if you happen to have it up against your shoulder when you're firing.
Right.
And I've seen these videos of people using what they call cheek pistol technique, where they put the buffer tube right up against their cheek. It's not quite like shouldering a rifle,
right,
but it's pretty close.
Yeah.
And since you don't have a lot of recoil there, and you can put a red dot sight, you know, a couple inches ahead of where your eye is, you've got plenty of eye relief, you can shoot it with that cheek weld offhand pretty accurately. I would say easily for somebody who is not super talented, you can shoot it more accurately with that cheek weld than you could just holding it out in front of you. Now, we've all seen the people who can shoot extraordinarily well. It's a Jerry Misselhoff, that I probably mispronounced his name, who is just extraordinary at what they can do with a pistol without any cheek weld or anything. But if you've got an AR with a buffer tube AR pistol with a buffer tube, and you use that as a cheek weld, and you've got an optical sight, it helps a lot.
Yeah.
And it's kind of hard to do that without ever contacting your shoulder with the buffer tube. I mean,
I just don't even know how they would actually enforce that law.
Oh, I'll tell you how they would do it. Because that's how I would do it. Is you look on YouTube for idiots that are saying, look at me, shoot this AR pistol. Why? I hold it right up to my shoulder. Look, here's a close-up showing it in contact with my shoulder. Yeah. It really works great. It's just like a rifle. You know, that's how you would enforce it, is idiots who say we have to put everything on YouTube videos, you know, and on their phone videos and all, and brag about how they're doing something that might be a little iffy. And sometimes we've seen it with people bragging about their illicit activities. Hunter Biden is just one of the most prominent. There's lots of people who put out stuff on the internet. Biden put it on his laptop, almost as bad, in my opinion. But if you put out on the internet while they are doing illegal things, and I'm not talking just, you know, ordinary, they could be doing a drive-by shooting, or they could be displaying.
Well, they do that too. They do all that nonsense.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy, but they don't seem to care. It's like, well, nobody's going to ever look at my YouTube video and use it in court against me. No, they do it all the time.
Yeah, the ATF is not one of those agencies. I mean, have you ever looked at the breakdown of the armed agents in each agency of the alphabet agencies that are out there?
Oh yeah, I have once in a while, a long time ago, and I forget how many ATF agents, but they're trying to increase them.
Well, I mean, but as of 2021,
it's not a huge number.
No, but as of 2021, the IRS has 90 more armed agents than the ATF does.
Yeah, I can believe it.
Yeah, so.
And AHIP doesn't have that many. I mean, it's almost as if they depend on local agencies to feed them cases.
Right.
They don't usually do cases by themselves unless there's something unusual to bring it to their attention.
Right.
Now, there are investigative arms of the ATF who go after what they think are, you know, more major operations and such.
Like,
there are.
Like,
but they just don't
like wake
have
up.
The manpower. Yeah, well, yeah. Let's rather do that.
Or Ruby Ridge. Yeah, I mean, yeah. You know, most of the time, most of the charges they bring, those are attached after they look at arrest reports or they, like you said, they see some fool on YouTube.
Or, you know, a local agency brings it to their attention. I recall when I was in Wisconsin talking about people and had a couple different officers say, yeah, we got this really bad guy and we know he carries around a sawed-off shotgun all the time. And we contacted the ATF and they're not interested. And that's a really bad guy.
Well, but
you
yeah.
want to get off the street.
That's an interesting point.
See, shotgun. It's not that big a deal. We're not interested.
I know a local dealer who had a guy that he suspected was sort of really sketchy, and he failed the background check.
Uh-huh.
And he kept coming back wanting to buy the gun. And so he had lied somewhere on the 4473. So they contacted local law enforcement and the ATF, and nobody showed up.
Yeah.
They set it up to where he was going to show up at a certain time, and then he showed up at a certain time, and they did not show up.
Right.
So, anyway.
I mean, it's just, and now what we're seeing with the Biden administration, and probably has gone on before that we don't know about, is targeting of political opponents. You know, I don't like this guy's politics, so we're going to go after him.
Right.
We're not all that interested in this bad guy who's, you know, bragged about robbing banks or whatever. You know, we're not going to go after him. That's a small state. But this guy that we can get politically, that's, you know, and it's a really sad state of affairs when we have that happen, but it's probably gone on forever.
Indeed.
Now, I would like to point out some of the history on this, the whole
idea.
Well,
you got, we can pick it up on the other side. We're coming up into the break if you want to do that.
Very good.
Certainly do that. Talking to Dean Weingarten. This article, like I said, it's at amaland.com. Dean has well over 2,200 other articles of all types waiting for you there. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load. At Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard.
Darren Tactical Innovations is the ultimate one-stop shop for all your competition, law enforcement, and military needs. Home of the weapons of WIC. Now featuring the new Pit Viper. Darren is the one who trained the one, and he is Hollywood's go-to for taking the weapons and training to the next level. His legacy of championship wins, spanning across decades, is due to his uncompromising dedication to perfection. These innovations are now offered to you at DarrenTactical.com.
USA News Update. President Biden says the U.S. and its allies played no role in the recent mercenary rebellion in Russia.
We made clear that we were not involved. We had nothing to do with it. This was part of a struggle within the Russian system.
The president said officials continue to assess the situation and it's too early to reach a conclusion about what's taking place. Intense storms across the United States have resulted in flight disruptions, potentially causing delays and cancellations for American travelers. According to FlightAware, more than 1,500 flights have been canceled today, while more than 5,400 flights have experienced delays. A new COVID-19 variant, EU11, has been found in multiple western states, including North and South Dakota, Utah, Wyoming, Colorado, and Montana. The symptoms of the variant are yet to be determined. EU11 is believed to be highly transmissible. John Schaefer, USA News.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Welcome back. Talking to Dean Weingarten. We were talking about how, the ATF, they're always on. They're always on something, and they just tried to make it complicate things. So go ahead and finish up on that one, if you would, sir.
Yeah, and that is that when we talk about short-barreled rifles, they were fairly common before 1934 when they passed the National Firearms Act. And that act, that piece of legislation, originally the federal government wasn't interested in short-barreled rifles at all. They were not included. They had their major target were handguns, and then they had short-barreled shotguns in there, sawed-off shotguns, and they had machine guns, and they had suppressors which were attached to pistols or sawed-off shotguns or machine guns. That's what the list was originally. They didn't have short-barreled rifles. But there was a Minnesota Democrat on the Ways and Means Committee in the House. And when this was being presented to the House and they were having some debate on it, and the Ways and Means Committee was having some debate, not the full House, and they're talking about it, and he said, well, rifles aren't in here. And I'm paraphrasing a bit because I don't have the exact conversation in front of me. So rifles aren't in here. And a lot of my constituents are deer hunters. And I don't want their deer rifles to be affected. So shouldn't we put rifles in there too? And shouldn't we make the barrel length 18 inches, not 16 inches? Because I know a little bit about guns, and I think 18 inches would be more effective for us than 16 inches. And the representative from the Justice Department of Justice looked at him and said, well, rifles aren't in here, so they wouldn't be affected. And the congressman went on, I don't know if he was drunk or if he was just trying to appear foolish to get this change in.
Yeah.
But he said, well, I know something about guns, and I think it should be 18 inches, and then we should probably have rifles in there because I don't want my constituents to be affected. And the guy from... You almost hear the what is going on in his comments that are in the transcript. And he says, well, if you want rifles in there, we can put rifles in there. And so they added rifles. And that's how they got, how short barrel rifles became under the National Firearms Act. And then the ATF did not make a determination that adding a stock to a pistol made a short-barreled rifle until 1961. That's like 25 years later. 26, 27 years later. I mean, and it, because they were pretty common and there were a number of them around and it didn't appear to them. You see, adding a stock to a pistol is quite a bit different than cutting the barrel on a rifle. So, but eventually they did, and that's how we got burdened with this really stupid law. I mean, if you look at laws that the federal government has, this has to be in the top tier for stupidity. But it's there, and it's in the courts now. And you've got to consider that under the Bruin decision from the Supreme Court last year on June 22nd, they said that you can't, they'd already said in Heller, you just can't ban a whole class of firearms. And then in Bruin, they solidified their position, said you can't ban a whole class of firearms. And not only can't you ban a whole class of firearms, but if you're looking at regulations on firearms or laws, you have to show there's a historical precedent. And it was common and accepted at the time that the Second Amendment was ratified in 1791, or, you know, we might give you a little leeway if you can show that it was common by 1868, not as much as we do for 1791. Well, there were no bans on short-barreled rifles until well after 1900. The earliest I could find was in 1921, I think, in Michigan. So it's way beyond the time they're considering as historical precedent. So here you have a ban on a whole class of firearms that doesn't make any sense from a policy viewpoint, and which wasn't passed until at least 1921. There's no historical precedent for it. It should be unconstitutional. I think unless there is a major change in the Supreme Court, like, say, God forbid, a couple of originalist justices die and are replaced by President Biden. That would be very bad. But barring that kind of thing, or packing the court by the Democrats, which they've talked about openly several times, barring that, the short-barreled rifle will probably go away. Either it'll be repealed by Congress, which there have been some legislation put out to that effect, or it'll be ruled unconstitutional.
Right. Well, we're going to see. We're going to see where it goes. I would, the former one route, I have now an SBR. If it goes away and pistols are okay, then I still have my pistol brace, and I will buy an AR-15 pistol in 5.56, and I will stick that on it. And I'll still have my pistol if that's what I want, and I'll have a SBR and a lovely 300 blackout loaded with supersonics. It's just absolutely wicked. So I got that going for me.
There's no reason to have this arbitrary barrel length. And interestingly, in a number of countries, they look at America and say, what's that barrel length thing about?
You know,
why is that important?
Indeed. So let's get into what happened in Arizona. You had a bear attack in Arizona. That's what I know about it. I haven't even looked at it. What's going on with that?
Okay, well, this happened on the morning of June 16th, and it's in the northern half of Arizona, just a few miles south of Prescott, which is a beautiful area. There's a lot of trees. It's much cooler, probably 10 degrees cooler than it is here in Yuma, where we're one of the hottest parts of the state. And it's just lovely country. I mean, happened at Groom Creek, and that's, like I said, a few miles. I don't think it's more than 5 or 6 miles south of Prescott, and it's about 100 miles north of Phoenix. And it's about 5,000 to 6,000-foot elevation. So it's just a beautiful place to have property. Hard to make a living there, but a beautiful place to have property. So this, they got, the Sheriff's Department got some 9/11 calls, and what had happened at about 7:30 in the morning, a man was having coffee outside. He was on his own property. He's building a cabin there. His name was Stephen Jackson. He's 66 years old. And they show an image of the scene. I mean, it looks like he had a little pop-up camper on his truck that he was using to sleep in, and there's building materials there. And, you know, you can see where he's planning and was working on building his cabin there out in the woods. And there's a camp chair that's overturned and what looks like a beverage container on the table, presumably since they said he was having coffee, it had coffee in it. And what appears to have happened is this bear is a pretty big bear, 300 pounder. That's a good-sized black bear. It was appears to be a predatory attack, and it probably snuck up on him from behind and grabbed him before he was aware of much of what was going on. And then he's struggling, he's screaming and yelling, and the neighbors hear him, and the bear is dragging him 75 feet down a fairly steep hillside. Looks like about a 45 degree from what I can see in the picture. So it's fairly steep. It takes him about 75 feet down this hillside, and the neighbors are yelling, trying to get him, the bear, to stop attacking Steve. And one of them honks his horn, but no.
Hang on for me. We'll finish this on the other side, talking to Dean Weingarten about the Arizona bear attack. This is Lock and Load.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@GCNlive.com.
Last time on the firing line. Yes, I was right about that. I had to double check that. Last time on the firing line. This is Lock and Load talking to Dean Weingarten, talking about this bear attack in Groom Creek, Arizona, where a 300-pound black bear was, well, he was sort of being predatory. Please continue, sir. I'm sorry I had to interrupt you.
Yeah, so he, you know, the victim is screaming and yelling, and the neighbors are trying to yell at the bear, and it's 75 feet down. It's pretty steep slope, and so the neighbors the yelling and the horn honking isn't doing any good. So one of the neighbors gets to someone that they know has a firearm. Now I've read recently, his name was David Montano, and he has had a firearm from training. And they yell at him, "He's being attacked! You know, grab your gun!" And they woke him up, so it takes a little bit to get away, and then he gets the gun and he goes to the where he can see the bear, and he said he got the bear's attention. I suppose he yelled or something, and he shoots it once, and it rolls off of Steve, and then he shoots it again to make sure it's down, but it was too late. Steven was already dead, and apparently had been really badly mauled. It's a horrible scene. So while he shot and killed the bear, it was a little bit too late to save Steven. But, of course, he did prevent the bear from attacking anyone else. He probably prevented a massive hunting search to find the bear. And that's what you have to do. And we find out that most black bear attacks are predatory attacks. That is, when they attack a person, it's with the intent to eat the person. And most of the time, you see them before they get to you. This is an unusual case where the bear contacted the person. Well, we don't know if it contacted the person, but it appears he made contact before Stephen had any chance to react, because it doesn't sound as if he yelled at the bear to try to dissuade it or anything. The first thing that people say they're hearing is screaming. Now, in contrast to that, over the last, oh gosh, several years, there was a previous fatal bear attack, but it was about 200 miles to the east, and it happened in 2011. A woman was out walking her dog, and she was attacked by a bear. But it took her about a month. The wounds were pretty bad, and they were badly infected, and they just couldn't save her. After a month, she had some either a stroke or heart failure as part of her medical difficulties, and she died about a month after the attack. But we have had four cases in Arizona where people with handguns stopped bear attacks And the first one that I was aware of was in 1996. And I interviewed the person who did it. It took me a long time. to get in contact with him. His name is Brett Kramer. But eventually I did, and he was willing to talk about what happened. And he was with a group of, I believe it was 4-H'ers, a youth group that was up on Mount Lemmon. And it was another predatory black bear attack. And I think this bear was almost the same size. I recall it was about 275 pounds or so. And this bear had invaded the tent that Amy Knochel was in and severely mauled her. The bear was literally eating her. And Brett managed to retrieve his .44 Magnum, shoot the bear, stop the attack, shot the bear again as it was retreating, and they found it the next morning, probably mortally wounded. And then we had other cases in 2002, 2012, and 2016 where people with handguns stopped bear attacks. They were all black bear attacks in Arizona. The last grizzly bear in Arizona, I think, was killed about 1906 or so. So fortunately, right now, we don't have any grizzly bears to worry about in Arizona. Because they are more commonly the attacks we hear about are from grizzly bears, and it's probably because if you shoot a grizzly bear, it has to be reported to the federal authorities. But if you shoot a black bear, it doesn't have to be reported to the federal authorities. It's not an enormous crime. And my suspicion is that a lot of black bears that get shot that are in predatory mood just never get recorded
right. Or
reported on. Now, this one, of course, did because there's a fatality involved. It's a terrible tragedy. I watched a video of the person who shot the bear talking about Stephen Jackson and said that he was very well-liked in the community. He was very intelligent and extremely knowledgeable, loved the area, and planned to spend his remaining years there. So that's what happened in Arizona, another fatal bear attack. And it's amazing how many people, when I look at this, say, well, the bear is in its home. We should never interfere with a bear in its home. Well, I don't think that bear was even alive when Stephen Jackson bought the property. You know, all of the world is our home and our habitat.
Yeah, we're the top of the food chain.
Predator.
Yeah.
We're the top predator, and it's up to us to keep our predation in check so that we don't just destroy everything. And I think we're doing a better job of that all the time.
Yeah. So, I don't know if you've noticed this, but do you know what a lot of people are talking about? Everybody should carry for self-defense nowadays.
No, I have. Well, there's a lot of talk about bear spray. But
bear spray.
We're getting some pushback, and a lot of it is the work that I and others have done showing how effective firearms, particularly handguns, are to defend.
Well, I'm talking about defense against humans is bear spray. They're talking about you should carry bear spray for humans.
Yeah.
And, I was asking, well, is bear spray more intense than pepper spray? And they're like, oh, it's all just pepper spray. And, I just don't know.
Well, different tools for different applications.
Yeah.
Virtually all police carry pepper spray because it is a tool that allows you to inflict some pain and some deterrence without being lethal. And that's a very useful thing in a lot of cases.
Right.
You know, not every defense calls for lethal force. And so I think the same thing applies to bear spray, is that there are times when it can be useful.
Right.
Now, what we see from the statistics is that black bears don't seem to be as sensitive to bear spray as grizzly bears. And it may be because just the way that they're set up or how they think about things or whatever, but they seem, when they're in predatory mode, they can be sprayed, and they just seem to keep coming back and coming back and coming back. And we've had a couple cases where people ran out of bear spray, but they ran out of bear spray just about the time they got to shelter, you know, like a car or a cabin or something like
right.
that. And so bear spray is not a complete solution for everything. I would argue that if you're worried about defending yourself, a firearm is far more versatile and effective. And frankly, we got lots of black bears. We got black bears, their populations are increasing all over. There's no reason not to take a black bear that's acting aggressively toward people out of the population.
Next time I go to Asheville, I'll be carrying my 10 millimeter just because they seem to be having black bear issues. Listen, we're running out of time, so we will catch Dean next week. Thank you very much for joining me today, sir.
Well, thank you, Bill. It's always a pleasure.
Back again on Monday. And between now and then, if you would be so kind, please remember this. It has never been about gun control. Not once, not ever. It has been. It's always going to be about total control. This has been Lock and Load.
Arrow Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Arrow Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Arrow Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders. Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th, Arrow Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
At Chambers Custom, we have one job. We strive to build the most obsessively reliable, accurate, and beautiful pistols for the discriminating gun owner. Using the ageless 1911 design with a 21st century approach to each part and component, Chambers Custom meticulously begins each pistol as a standalone project, creating a bespoke, handcrafted, peerless firearm. They integrate all of the internal, external, and intrinsic elements that make a custom 1911 unique. Go to ChambersCustom.com. Chambers Custom, truly the mechanical advantage.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.